What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Popcorn People Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to break down two movies that we recently saw earlier, probably a couple other ones while we're at it. It's been a while since we've been on the show, but today we're going to talk about Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and Roadhouse. As always, I'm joined by my partner, Mr. Don Fisher. How are you, bud?
What's popping, kernels? Man, I'm good, man. It's the weekend. I didn't have to work yesterday, so I'm a little more refreshed than I have been the past couple weeks. And I'm getting, you know, I'm getting excited for WrestleMania, man. Like, it's just getting exciting again. Like, you know, I took a break from wrestling for a long time, but it seems to be getting reinvigorated, and it seems like the general public, like the numbers are going up more than they have in a long time. And I also want to see, you know, which is not till the summer, but Mike Tyson knock out Jake Paul. Like, if Mike loses that fight, I promise everyone here, I will never watch boxing ever again if Mike Tyson loses. There's no reason why, if you've seen the way Mike's been moving and the things he's done, if he gets knocked out by Jake Paul, I'm not watching boxing ever again. I will never watch it again.
I have so many mixed feelings about that entire thing, because that entire thing is just absolutely absurd. Like, they shouldn't even be fighting, period. I mean, no. It is a 57-year-old man. I feel like there's got to be some provisions written in his contracts where he's like, nobody can knock us down. You know, I think that's going to go to like 10 rounds. Nobody wins. Jake Paul ends up winning by decision because he dances around. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't even know. You know what I mean?
It's weird,
like,
that we've come to this point in boxing.
Well, like, I don't even understand it. Like, why people, if people stop paying for these fights, they wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, well, and that's the thing. Jake is, as much as, like, he's annoying, he's a smart businessman. As far as, like, when you're the hated person, you're going to make a lot of money. People watch Floyd Mayweather, not because he was one of the best boxers of all time. People wanted to see him lose because he was cocky and because he walked the walk, and they were like, there's no way he's as good. And he was beating everybody. So it makes sense. But I have like a vested interest in Mike Tyson for a long time. And it's like, bro, like, you was crying, you know, because you're such a warrior and you know, you put that guy away. You can't let Jake put you down.
I mean, you can't. And that's the thing. But at the same time, I don't feel like he's going to put him down. I don't. I feel like it's going to be just a bullshit fight. I really do. I'm looking forward to it because I'll watch it and it'll be on Netflix. And I'm sure we'll talk about it. But I just, at the same time, I'm not really, really, really looking forward to it. But speaking of looking forward to it, like I said, we're going to talk about two movies. Let's go ahead and dive into our movie reviews. Dom, I'll let you kick it off with whatever one you pick up.
Pick first. All right, so let's start with Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. The Spengler family returns to the iconic New York City firehouse, where the original Ghostbusters have taken ghostbusting to the next level. When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must unite to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. Okay, I'll go first on this one. I will preface this by saying, as much as it was a big deal growing up, when we were growing up, I was never a huge Ghostbusters fan. And I mean, I get some of like how you could attach to it, but like, it wasn't for me. It was cool, but it wasn't like, at that time I was Ninja Turtles and that was my shit. Ghostbusters was like, eh. And, but this movie, right? The first or the last one, Afterlife, it felt a little more dramatic, where we're introduced to these new characters who are going to take on the Ghostbusters logo, because they find out their legacy of their family doing this thing that no one's really done. And then you add in Paul Rudd, who's the history teacher of the kids, and he attaches himself to the family. And then, you know, they become one big family. This film, Frozen Empire, every good moment is seen in the trailers. Every exciting thing that happens, except for maybe one or two things, you've already seen it. You've seen it in the trailers. Yeah, it's without context, but the context really don't matter because they give it to you. This monster is trying to scare people to death, which actually didn't make any sense because that's not what he was doing. And it was supposed to be this kind of, you know, fun adventure where you bring the new and the old together, and it just became like the old guard bogarting the whole thing. Like, they wanted to still be the Ghostbusters. And I'm not talking about in the film, I'm talking about how it was written. You couldn't get away from Dan Aykroyd. And I mess with dude. Like, yeah, I fuck with you, dog. But like, if you want this IP to move to the future, we have this new cast of characters that we've already established in a previous movie. Let them take it over. It was sold as like more of a horror comedy. Like, the horror aspects were high. No, they weren't. There's nothing scary about it. To me, the movie played better as a coming of age story for McKenna Grace's character, Phoebe, as she goes through this kind of teen angst stage, and where the world, everything that she's doing is the world. Everything revolves around her. And she also kind of figures out that she might be into girls, a ghost girl, but she might be into girls. And because she feels like nobody can understand her, and that's the majority of the film, is this kind of subplot. And they build up this villain, this ancient other dimensional ghost monster thing, to have a climax that lasted like 5 minutes. And it was very much like, it wasn't Frozen Empire, like, unless the Empire is like the palm of your hand. Like, it was not, there was no chills up my spine. The ghost hunting was not there like it should have been. It was very much like poking around, kicking around a corpse, man. Like, the IP, it needs another revitalization, or it needs to be put to rest, because it just wasn't it for me, man. What was your thoughts?
So going into this, I didn't have any expectations because I did really like the 2020, whatever version of the film, the reboot of the film. I really liked it. I thought it was very well made. I felt like there was that ounce of nostalgia to it that kind of brought to life the old characters, but developing the new characters. It kind of reminded you of X-Men First Class, and then X-Men, what was the next one? Last Stand or whatever it was. Like,
Last Stand.
First Class, and then Last Stand. So, like, I feel like what they did with First Class was develop all of these new characters, right? And then in the next film, they brought all of the old characters in and kind of mixed it together and didn't do very well. That's exactly what they did here. Like, you're bringing all these new characters to the table, and they're all really likable. Like, all of the cast is pretty strong. I really enjoy everybody, like, all of the new people. And it's not to say that I don't like the old people, but it's just like, give them some leeway here to develop these characters and be stronger and better. It was so hokey. I didn't love the story. The story sucked. The script is just bad. It's just a bad script. Mm. Let's just put it to it like that. It's a bad script. Like, there's nothing about this film that really screamed to me great. There's some good moments, but there's so much unevenness within the script. Even the McKinney Grace storyline, it was nice, but it was undercooked. Like, this movie just completely undercooked with a bunch of different things, bunch of splotches. It almost felt like this film was rushed out for the purpose of capitalizing off of the first film's kind of success. what I mean? It didn't make a whole lot of money, but it, of course it warranted a sequel. So it's like, let's get this out so people remember what we made just 3 years ago instead of really trying to develop something that could make these characters grow into something more, into a third installment of the franchise. Honestly, I could care less about this franchise now. Like, I just thought I would – I'm not a huge Ghostbusters guy like you. I enjoyed the first film. I thought the other two were kind of lackluster. I didn't hate the 2016 one that everybody loves to hate, right, just really because it was all women-led, which is just the theme of all people in society, apparently. Yeah. But the 2021 was strong. This one, not so much. It's just forgettable. I'm not surprised to see people, like audiences, general audiences will probably love the nostalgia factor of it. They love seeing these old faces. We had people dressed up at our screening to it. People have been dressed up all week into it. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay. It's just a bad movie. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where nostalgia is holding it back. And at this point, like I had a talk with a buddy of mine after the fact who was at the screening we were at. He's not a critic. He's just a guy I used to work with, a big movie lover. And, you know, he enjoyed it. And I told him the reasons why I didn't. And I was like, look, man, the movies are kind of doing the same thing over and over and over. And what they need to do is, you know, add something. And I said, maybe they need to add like a big brolic guy who joins the team. And they're like, hey, man, you can't physically fight ghosts. And then he brought up a genius idea of maybe they make him proton gloves so he can fight and grab the ghost. I was like, dude, that'd be fucking dope. They could have done that. This whole movie could have been take the ending of the movie, move it to the front where they have, it's done in the trailers. All the ghosts are coming out. And then we actually get ghost hunting. And maybe you expand to Ghostbusters West, Ghostbusters Midwest, Ghostbusters South, because in real life we have these, like in Nashville, there's a group, Nashville Ghostbusters. I don't know their official name, but there's a group on their cars, the wardrobe, they have it all. So you could expand in a better way than just kind of giving us the same insulated one building, one city type of story to only see like maybe 5 ghosts, really, the entire film. I want ghostbusting. I want an adventure. And they were trying too much, like you said, they were juggling too many things because the script is just bad. But it seemed like they were focused so much on the science and all these subplots. Even the Finn Wolfhard subplot of, I'm 18, I'm an adult, it went to nothing. It was nothing. It was mentioned a few times. You thought something was going to happen. As he's like trying to go after a ghost that he sees that we all know, and it led to nothing. And the big parental payoff wasn't warranted. There was no buildup, because I think that would have been cool to see if it had it been actually laid out, but it wasn't. And it was very unfortunate. I mean, that one line was better done in a Publix commercial with the stepdad and the daughter. I don't know, man. It's just unfortunate. And I think I've even put my review. If diehard fans actually really look at this film, it's going to be at the bottom of their list of the franchise.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. Well, we saw two movies together this week, the first of which actually was last Sunday. We actually had the privilege of checking out Roadhouse in a theater. I did feel, honestly, at the end of the day, I am very, very, as somebody that has seen it twice, now, once at home, once in theater, I am pretty, pretty happy that I did have the opportunity to see it on the big screen. But yeah, I'll hit the synopsis here this time. I'll take a beat off Dom's Fisher's here. Fisher's a delight here. Ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys Roadhouse, only discover that the paradise is not all as it seems. The film stars, obviously, Jake Gyllenhaal in that lead character with Daniela Melchior, Conor McGregor, Billy Magnussen, Lucas Gage, Jessica Williams, and a host of other people. Post Malone even makes a quick appearance there. I'll kick us off like you did with Ghostbusters. To be honest with you, going into this film, People shouldn't have the expectations. Look, you're watching a reimagined version, not a remake, a reimagined version of the original. You know what I mean? That line of the new town, same story type deal. Do you have that same thing built into the vibe here? And what I loved about this film is this. There's a foundation of writing that developed within this Dalton character that really made me invest into what was happening. And that's the simple fact of they did a job of building Dalton up to be this badass. We all know Conor McGregor is a badass. Period. End of story. No questions asked. Period. You know what I mean? Like, it's it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, a badass, right? You know what I mean? So you have to build Dalton up, Jake Gyllenhaal, his character up to be able to be an opposing foe. So what they do perfectly is that first introduction of his character and the way we see him walk into that fight and then we see the other fighter kind of just walk away because they know who he is. It shows this intimidating presence about him. 5 minutes later, he's stepping outside and he's getting stabbed in the fucking gut and just takes it like a fucking champ. You know what I mean? Like, what he does to build the toughness within Dalton is nothing short of miraculous. However, at the same time, you need to see him be a badass with his fighting. And, of course, we saw it in that first fight scene, brilliantly laid out, brilliantly done. This film was a blast. I'll be honest with you. I had so much fun with this movie. There's some really strong action. Does it get a little bit wonky towards the end? Yeah, of course it does. It's a little too CGI-y. I felt like they kind of tried to go a little too overboard on certain aspects of things, but it didn't take away from the overall film for me. Conor McGregor was pretty great in this. I loved him. He more or less played Conor McGregor, but it was funny. Jessica Williams was a nice little touch to the film. But, I mean, overall, this is exactly what I wanted. I mean, it's stupid, nonsense, fun. That I've actually seen twice and liked it both times. Don, what did you think of the movie?
Yeah, my favorite part of the film, and it made me look back at the original in a different way, is Hannah Lanier's character, the young girl, I believe her name was Charlie, and she says, so this is like a Western. You know, you're the stranger that comes to the town to like clean up the rowdy saloon. And I was like, dude, that's fucking awesome. Because for one, they're kind of, you know, playfully poking at like how the original is. So you're like, what is this? And it's like, oh, it is a Western. And their interaction, the initial interaction, along with that first fight, gives you a great look into what kind of person that Dalton is in this film. He is very like approachable. He's a nice guy. He's, you know, just kind of figuring things out because he doesn't have a lot going for him anymore because he is haunted by a myth that we slowly get to see unfold. And then with that first fight, like we compared to the original Dalton, he was super like smiley and he wanted to kind of impose his presence. And this Dalton is very like nonchalant, doesn't want to have to really hurt anybody because he's like, I know what I can do. I rather not. And that's what our first fight where he goes open hand rather than closed fist. And it's so good. And Gyllenhaal, like the older he's gotten, there's this comfort he has in his characters. And he's becoming very good at the subtle comedy. This movie is very funny without being like, oh, this is a comedy, because the line delivery, whether it's him or it's Connor, because you know, there's a clip going around that Prime has posted and people are confused by McGregor's character and they're like, this acting seems bad, what is this? And I'm like, the character at that scene is taken out of context because when he is introduced, first off, he's introduced in a fucking crazy dope kind of way. And he is established very quickly as this guy is nuts. He is a psychopath. And so when you do see him later out of context, you're like, this is kind of weird, but like, it is so good. And it kind of, if you've watched Connor's career and you were to make like a, a realistic comic book character of Connor. This kind of how you would draw him. Like, he can do whatever he wants to. No one's going to stop him because he'll fucking destroy you. But as we slowly see from the two different angles, these are two guys that you don't want to mess with. These are two opposing forces that can wreck anything in their path. And not only does Dalton have to deal with McGregor's character eventually, I think his name was Knox, he has to deal with why he came or what's making him stay in this town, and it's corruption. Just like the original, the corruption is just a bit different, but there are elements that are similar that people will recognize and appreciate. But yeah, like you said, this is it's so fun. The story is, you know, it lends itself to a lot of movies of the sort, whether it's like Walking Tall or anything like the Equalizer. There's aspects of this lone person who's just them, and they happen to have a certain set of skills, and they go for it to use them for good. I've also seen it twice. We saw it in the theaters. I watched it again with my wife, and she liked it as well. It's one of those ones where it's hard to completely rank. So I think it's one where people would see it with a high ranking. They might believe, like, how is this better than XYZ? And the reason why is because, like we've said before, we rate movies for what they are. We rate them for what they're trying to do. And this movie was trying to tell a fun story, but also just entertain. And you get that. You get the action. You get the, you know, edge of the seat moments. You get a subtle love story, which was probably the most disappointing part, because I feel like in the original, the love story was essential to who Dalton was, and because the woman kind of broke down his walls a little bit. And this one, you know, it's not there as much. It's not as debaucherous as the first one, because the OG had, you know, naked women running around everywhere. And we saw Swayze's ass a few times. And this film isn't that kind of film. It was straight action. And it's definitely worth a watch. It's an easy watch. You don't have to overthink it or read too much into anything, but it's definitely one that you can watch multiple times. Like, we both watched it twice in the same week. So yeah. And I was just saying that the one aspect that I wish we could have gotten, that we got in the original, is the love aspect. The love story wasn't as strong as this one, and that's what broke down Dalton's walls in the first movie. This one, I think it wasn't love, but it was the admonishment of the young girl, Charlie. He really, you know, she was like this.
She was used as like a ploy. She was like a ploy to be the dad.
Like, she's a smart kid, and she's standing up for people, and she's putting this impossible situation that eventually leads Dalton to go, oh, nah, fuck that. It's time for me to, you know, light the city on fire, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sorry for the technical difficulties there. My keyboard mouse died as I was trying to do something else. But yeah, so, and it's probably going to die again soon, but I just wanted to be on the screen while it did. But yeah, I really liked Roadhouse. I'm glad you liked it as well. We saw it together. I think our next screening together is going to be Monkey Man, which I know we're both very, very, very excited about. Yeah. On April 3rd. Dom, what have you watched recently that you've liked before we wrap this thing up?
Let's see. So Late Night with the Devil is fantastic. I just watched Shirley today on Netflix. Shirley is really really good. And then we didn't really get to talk about it, but I think you put out a review. I put out a TikTok review for Love Lies Bleeding. That is phenomenal. And the Quiet on Set docuseries on Max, holy shit. Your childhood is about to get real fucked up. And it just opens the door for more questions. It's a wild, wild ride. What about you?
So I started Palm Royal over on Apple TV Plus. I'm really, really enjoying that. Kristen Wiig gives a solid performance. I will say this, give it a chance because the first episode and maybe even part of the second episodes aren't great. A little bit of a pacing issue I have there. But outside of that, I'm having a lot of fun with that. I'm like 5 episodes deep into that. And it's pretty good. So I'm kind of enjoying that. Like I said, a little bit of a slow start, but otherwise pretty solid. I'm currently watching Manhunt. It's okay. Definitely interesting story. Definitely intriguing. There's a show dropping this week on Hulu called We Were the Lucky Ones. It is based on this family during the Holocaust that kind of reunited. It's about this Kirk family. It's a Jewish family determined to survive and reunite after being separated in the war. The brother, there's like 5 siblings, I think. They all get separated. They all continue to fight. It's based on a true story, based on a book. Somehow, some way, over like a 12-year span throughout the entire Holocaust, they finally all are able to reunite together. I'm like 5 episodes deep into that. It's one of the hardest things you'll watch. If you watch Zone of Interest, it's kind of in that same ballpark. But just based on some of the similarities of what the social unrest that's kind of going on overseas right now, it's not hard. It's not easy to watch. It's not something that just for the faint of heart. Joey King has given up. That entire cast is just they understand the importance of the story that they're telling and are really giving strong performances. But We Were the Lucky Ones drops on Hulu, I think Thursday, first 3 episodes. It'll be weekly after that. Really, really, really strong stuff out of that. But yeah, that's kind of what I've watched recently. Trying to catch up on a bunch of stuff. If you're not watching Shogun, please do so.
And shows on TV. X-Men 97 is fucking so good.
I never heard of it.
it's so good.
Stuff. I don't want to get in trouble. But Dom, yeah, we'll be back. We should be back next week as long as my surgery doesn't wipe me completely out. I'm not sure what we'll talk about next week yet, but send me some good vibes if you're listening to this. I am having surgery tomorrow. It's only on my labrum, but I'll be out for a little while because I only have one wing. But we'll definitely be podcasting because there's still movies to watch, even if I'm half doped up. Maybe it'll make them better. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Maybe you can watch Damsel again.
Will it be better if I'm doped up?
Probably not.
Oh, shit. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.
That dog, I'm fucking scrambling around over here. My